Well, Happy New Year to you. I've got to say that at the beginning, didn't I? It's that time of the year when people start making resolutions, New Year's resolutions. Well, actually, by the time we got to the 6th of January, it's about the time when most people have given up on their resolutions, isn't it? I think it's a statistical fact. One of the New Year's resolutions that often people make is to spend more time with those they love. And it's quite easy during the Christmas holidays to do that, but it gets more difficult when work comes in. We've managed quite a few. Ben, my eldest son, is with us this morning, just before he heads back to uni this afternoon. And we've managed as a family to get together, and often we end up playing board games together. I don't know if you're a board game household or not, but it doesn't always engender the most pleasant of conversations between the family. But we're spending time together, and that's the key. So, yeah, we've had quite a few new board games come in this year, and even, yeah, all the boys and Carrie and myself enjoy that. But often New Year's resolutions actually focus, looking through lots of the lists that you can find out there, they often focus on trying to, be more healthy, perhaps. Things like stopping smoking or doing the things that we know are not good for us and taking up more exercise or changing our eating habits. That's health is often a focus. Another thing is trying to focus on our wealth, let's put it that way, trying to save money or not spend so much. And then the other thing I noticed often in lists of resolutions is trying to read more, or find out more, or learn a new skill. I don't know if anyone's made that kind of a resolution. I kind of do every week rather than every year. And as I thought, it's about being healthy, wealthy, and wise, growing in our health, wealth, and wisdom. And I was reminded of a family game that we played a long time ago. I don't know if any of you have ever played Happy Families before, but my aunt had this pack of woodland Happy Families. Does anyone know that? With pictures drawn by Racy Helms. So instead of Mr. Bun the Baker or Mr. Pat the Postman, it was animals from the woodlands. And the one character I really remember and what was reminded of was Master Rabbit. It wasn't a very good example I could get off the internet. But on his wall, he had this little rhyme that I still remember to this day, and I managed to find it. And it says, early to bed, early to rise, makes a bun, healthy, wealthy, and wise. I thought, what a great New Year's resolution he's got. Apparently, the actual rhyme has makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise, but I've never known it as that. I've always known makes a bun healthy, wealthy. This is the first time I learnt it when I was playing this Happy Families with my aunt a long time ago. So there you go. If you want a New Year's resolution, maybe Master Rabbit has the secret. What I find fascinating, what I focus on a little bit today, are the magi, the wise men that we've heard about and think a little bit about, and they come into this Sunday. They have health, clearly. They're going on this long journey. They're healthy. They must be wealthy. They open their treasures when they get to Jesus. And they're clearly wise because they're known as the wise men. They're healthy, wealthy, and wise, and yet they are still searching. They're still searching for something. And we hear that they're from the east. Matthew tells us they're from the east. It doesn't really tell us much, does it? It could be, where's east of here? You know, it could be from London. We've got a few Londoners here or wherever. They're from the east. I think the implication is they're from a long way from Jerusalem, from Israel. They're non-Jews, Gentiles. They're far from God, both geographically, but also religiously, spiritually as well. And yet, a star has led them. They've seen this star in the sky, this tiny pinprick in the star in the sky, and it's told them something. It's told them that there's a new leader. And despite all the wealth and the wisdom, they're still searching, and it seems they're searching for a focus of their worship. They want this leader. They want to come and find this leader to worship him. And so they travel and they visit the palace, as you would do if you were looking for a leader of a nation. And they certainly stir up the wealth and wisdom within Jerusalem. The whole of Jerusalem is stirred up by their appearance. And then it's this small verse in a small book from a minor prophet, Micah, I think it is, which talks about this small town, Bethlehem, and it leads them to this small room and the mother and the child. It's a fantastic, great reversal, as the Bible does it so well and so many times. places that usually would come to Israel and conquer it and plunder it have come. The wise men are symbolic of those nations coming and offering worship and bringing their treasures. It's a fantastic story of reversal, as Jesus oversees it so many times in his life. They come and worship, despite their wealth and wisdom, they come and worship the one who is worthy, Jesus. They kneel before him and they worship him. And perhaps as we heard in Isaiah and in that psalm I read at the beginning, that you can see where the crossover comes, and we're going to be singing a bit later on about the We Three Kings. And those Bible scholars among you will say, well, it doesn't say there were three. It says there were three gifts, but it doesn't say there were three. It doesn't actually say they were kings either. It says they were magi, which is sort of magicians or wise men. But the tradition is they come representing the nations and the kings who are mentioned and foretold in Isaiah and in Psalm 72 as well. The kings will come and kneel before him. And so they represent, in a way, the kings and the countries that were far from God, who come and bow before him. And of course, as history has carried on, so many kings and emperors and rulers and queens have bowed down before Jesus and recognised him as the one worthy of worship. But it all started with a star, with a tiny light. A tiny pinprick. I don't know if you had a chance to see the stars over the last few, the last week or so. We had a full moon just before Christmas, so it wasn't very good for watching the stars because the moon kind of polluted the shed too much light. But over the last few nights, we've got a very thin moon, and there's some amazing star constellations. If you live down here, you guys must have a great field of stars. I know when I come down to the church sometimes, it's dark. You just get a wonderful view. You suddenly realise how many stars there are, actually. You don't often see them unless you're somewhere away from all the street lights and the other light. And yet they're all just one tiny spark, but together they make an amazing display. And it's often we kind of think of the sky being dark, but when there are stars there, it's the stars we see. It's not the dark. Isaiah prophesied this light would come, and the wise men saw the light. They recognized it. And as they traveled, of course, others didn't. Herod just didn't recognize the light, didn't recognize the prophecy and the fact that Jesus was coming to bring hope and to bring a symbol of God's love. Herod didn't get that at all. And so we hear the wise men return a different way to avoid those who didn't recognize the light, didn't want the light. And I guess the link today is there are still many today who, yes, are searching for wealth and health and wisdom, but also a focus for worship. I don't think we kind of underestimate how much people are looking for something spiritual. We read about it quite often in the news, people exploring different ways of doing spirituality. People are searching for a focus for worship. They recognise that money and possessions, even great health, can go a certain way to fulfilling a desire in us, but actually we're made for worship for so much more. And I guess we might think about those from far away. I love the prayer. I'll talk a bit more about prayer in a moment, but one of the publications I get, or the mailings I get, and it's quite a lot asking for prayer and for money, but one of the things that I use is from the organisation called Open Doors, who work with persecuting Christians across the world in many, many nations. And they do a list of countries that it's really difficult to be a Christian in. They do what they call their World Watch List. And number one, the most dangerous place in the world since 2002 has been North Korea. It has been so difficult to be a Christian. And yet, in the prayer directory for Wednesday, the 2nd of January, it says, as North Korea raises its profile on the world stage, leader Kim Jong-un continues to consolidate his power. But it says what the believers in that nation are saying to Open Doors. They're saying that what we want to do is we want to pray for him. And they say, we're not praying that God will depose him or get rid of him. He says the people in North Korea are genuinely asking God to save their leader for the eternal life. They want God to break in for him to see the light and actually for love to break through and for him to see that. And that's those who are in the midst of that awful regime. So there are many in the world we might see who are a long way away from God and geographically a long way away from us. But as I was praying through and thinking about this today, I recognised that actually there are probably many people that we know, maybe friends or neighbours, even family members who find it hard to welcome in the light. We haven't yet quite made that step of faith or seen Jesus as their saviour and as the one to offer their worship. And what I wanted to offer really is two ways this morning that we can shine the light to them. The first is very practical, really, offering actions or words of loving kindness to them, to those who we know who perhaps don't yet know Jesus, don't yet see the light that perhaps we know something of. Words and actions of loving kindness can make a huge difference in a world where so many are out for themselves. We can shine a light in that way. But of course we'll need something more than just ourselves to persevere with that. Offering acts of kindness and words of generosity, perhaps they come easily to you, but over time we can get worn down, can't we, when we don't get anything back. So that's where the Holy Spirit comes in, and we can pray and ask God to help us, persevere and offer our loving words and our kind actions unconditionally, just as God loves us. And that's one of the reasons why we love to gather here each week and celebrate the love that God has for us, and hopefully depart strengthened to share that love with others. So that's the first thing, a practical thing. But the second thing that God's really put on my heart for today is prayer, and is praying for those people we know who don't yet see the light. Prayer might seem like a tiny spark, like a tiny pinprick. But as I say, as I was praying through, there's this picture of the stars in the sky. And actually, if we focus on the darkness, well, yeah, it is quite dark in the sky. But actually, the more we look and the more we get out into the countryside, the more we see how many stars are there. And it was, I just got that sense that actually each prayer that we pray can be like a star in the sky, can be like a pinprick of light. And that was all that was needed for the wise men. They saw the star, that single star, amongst so many others, and it guided them to Jesus. And that's what my prayer and my hope is for us, that we would focus on praying in the same way for those that we know who we would love to come to know the Lord as we do, or as we're growing to. Those tiny lights that penetrate the darkness can be our prayers. Again, it takes persistence to continue to pray for those we know, but God hears each prayer, and they do make a difference. Our prayers make a difference to us as we pray them, but also to the people and the situations that receive them. Again, the Open Doors booklet that I get, I have to confess, I don't always read every word in it as it falls on my doorstep. But this is their news pamphlet that comes out each month. And it says, "Your prayers and support have been helping the church in Syria to continue to shine as a light in the darkness." It says, "Pastor Edward from Damascus runs a centre of hope through his church, which Open Doors is supporting. The centre helps thousands of displaced and vulnerable believers, including children and those with disabilities. For our supporters, people who really supported us through the crisis, I want you to know that this meant a lot to us." And Pastor Edward says, "I received a letter from a lady who said, 'I prayed for you every day.' And he says, 'I told my congregation this amazing fact, that we really are the body of Jesus Christ, supporting one another.' And he says, 'We feel for each other and we support each other.' Just that act of prayer has encouraged those people in that place that we know is a place of such difficulty. So that was what I really wanted to bring for today, that a focus on prayer and focus on each one of our individual prayers, praying for those who are struggling, those we know who are difficult, and we'll offer that in prayer later on as well when we have our prayers, but also those that we know who, like the wise men, are searching for something and that God will break in. So this new year, let's offer our loving actions and our heartfelt prayers, shining starlights into the gloom to help others and be guided to kneel before the one who is worthy of our worship. And to that end, I've done a little prayer and prayer card I'd love for you each to take home today. It's got the year on, just in case you're not sure which year it is. But inside, it's got a picture of the stars in the sky. And just a reminder of a couple of verses that we heard today. From Isaiah 60, "Arise, shine, your light has come. The glory of the Lord rises upon you." And then from Matthew 2, "We saw his star," said the wise men, "when it rose and have come to worship him." And there's just a few words in there for you to think about, those you might want to pray for. And I'd love you to take that and take that into your daily prayers. On the back, if you really want to go for it, I've copied out the suggested prayers that come through the Church of England daily prayer. For each day of the week, there's a different group of people, a sort of list of people that you might want to share in prayer. That's just an addition to your prayer. But I really want to encourage that. I've got a whole batch of them here, which I'll bring to the back at the end of the church, at the end of the service. And I'd love us to make 2019 a time when we pray. And the other thing I'm conscious of is actually when we have answers to our prayer, that we encourage one another as well. It might not be that we come up the front and say, you know, I've lost my keys the other day and I prayed and I found them. That's great as well. I love that. But it might be you just share with those, you know, with people that you know in appropriate ways. But that's the other part of it, I think, isn't it? Encouraging one another when prayers are answered or when we're encouraged by what we see. Sometimes it's only little steps, but those little steps, those little stars, those little flickers of light are key. I think it's time for me to stop. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the privilege and the power of prayer, that we can come before you, the maker of heaven and earth, and that you speak to us as we pray and as we offer you those that you've put on our hearts. Lord, I pray that for us that 2019 will be a year where we would grow in our prayer life together as a church and as individuals. That you would encourage us, that it wouldn't be one of those resolutions that gets forgotten about in a week or two, but that we would keep making prayer our priority. And that as we do so, as we persevere in prayer, that we would see the difference it makes in our lives and in the lives of those that we hold up in prayer. Lord, you're already putting on our hearts and minds this morning, I know, the people that you want us to pray for. And it'll be different for each one of us. But as a church, I pray that we could encourage one another and that at the end of this year, we would really see a difference see how our prayers have made a difference. So guide us on, Lord. May we see the light, see the starlight that leads us on, just like it did to those wise men, that more may come. Worship you and find the joy and the fulfillment that you want each one of us to have. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.